Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
YouTube world, or not YouTube world, or the internet world across the globe. Welcome to the Delicious Recipe with your host here, The Dell, on UPRN Radio. It's a cold December time, 2019, up here in Canada. And I wish everybody around the world globe their happy holidays. So tonight's show, I titled Prison Planet Loaded Nachos. And, or I guess I was actually going to call it their How to Boil a Frog, but I didn't think that title would have come across too, too friendly. But I'll explain what this sort of is that nachos is something like a great snack. And it's there to keep you distracted away from good, filling, healthy meal. And whereas like a boiling a frog would be like cold water, you put a frog in cold water and you increase the heat slowly, and then it never notices the change until it's too late. And with this, along with this topic, there is the deal with, I guess how the title would be, is personal identification and the way our technology is being implemented in controlling your identity and who you are, giving up your privacy in stuff like biometrics. A big one is the RFID chips, and that's a radio frequency identification tags. And they are everywhere and in everything. And this seen in the news there recently and over the last couple of years is that this technology, Sweden is one place where they're doing that, where they're going cashless, and also using this technology to basically control their way of life and who they interact with, or not actually who they interact with, but it's getting into your business or your home or transportation. And like I've noticed myself, being born in the 70s and up to here, so almost 50 years, I've mentioned this before, is I sort of grew up and was through the whole time period of before there was personal computers in the home, before the internet was actually a thing that was viable and available to the masses and what it is right now. And I don't think governments and controlling factors actually believed that this internet was going to go the way that it did. Like originally it was just for universities to pass information back and forth, and then the tech geeks, as you aka want to call them, found other reasons for it to pass information and to start sharing this information across a vaster distance. And then it just sort of ballooned and spread out like a spider web across everywhere. And we are to where we are today in this internet or information technology age, where we have what we have is the internet, the top net that everyone uses, the deep web, dark web, down deeper. And there's lots of layers and accessibility that people can be involved in, depending on your I guess your computer savvy knowledge. But for me, looking back, how it's sort of dealt with in life that I've seen is that before, like in the 70s, we had things like before we even had, I guess, ATM cards. I don't even remember even having one until I think later into the 80s. I remember everything was done by paper, and you always kept paper with you. And I always remember my dad, when he was alive, there was saying, always in your wallet, oh, make sure you keep a couple extra bucks hidden away in there just in case. And then even when ATMs started becoming a thing into the 80s, where you had these cards, and this is before the RFID chip, because those weren't even in production or even a thought at this time. You had this layer of protection that wasn't what it is today. Like, you used to go into the bank back then, and I remember being in there, you come with your bank book and a piece of ID, and you signed your name, and that was it. And then now what we have there today is you have chips that are or even tags, or even up to this point there now is implants, where they're doing this in Sweden and even in the USA. I believe it's in a place in Wisconsin, a tech building, a company has gone that way and used chips, or I guess it's called a chip, but actually, to say what it is, it's like a capsule, like the size of a grain of rice. That's the system they were using over there, and it fits underneath your skin in your hand, and this allows you to do whatever access to whatever is possible that they have it set up for in the business. And in these countries, it's set up with your banking information as well. But as we go through there, so a lot of stuff was all beforehand, before this technology became implemented into what it is today. And like, I've always really liked the benefits of technology as a way to exist or to assist human life. But I'm not really into the whole fact that it's going to be the primary factor that allows you to exist and function in today's society. And you can sort of look, that's the way things are sort of progressing in that direction, as this technology is being sort of pushed and suggested across the globe. And you'll see it. I'll show you. I'll explain this a little bit more in where it's being phased in other countries and here in North America. And I pay a little bit more attention to what's going on in the USA, because Canada is right next to the USA, and whatever happens in the US, Canada usually follows along closely behind or soon thereafter. And you got to figure is that also Canada is connected with the Five Eyes coalition or agenda or group. And if you know what the Five Eyes are, that is a group of five countries, which is the USA, Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. And there's a part there is that countries are not really supposed to spy on their own constituents or people of their own country, but with this you can have other countries do that for you and pass on that information. And with the Edward Snowden that had come out there, is that I believe it was the NSA or the CIA was following information and tracking people's information and recording everything. And there's more and more news media away from the main media, because you can never really trust that propaganda that's going on there. But you see that there is this huge amount of privacy, individual privacy, that is slowly disappearing. So going back to my part of that, where I was saying into this story, is that I sort of saw this, I guess you would say, flow and direction of the way technology has slowly come in and it's implemented into our life more and more. And our individuality, our privacy, as sort of slowly being tapered away. And it's sort of like with the boiling the frog analogy is, or being in a prison planet, is that you're not noticing what's going on here because it's just in such slow incremental effects. And as it keeps on going and it affects more and more of our life, we don't really notice that this is happening, or we do notice and it's actually too late to see what has already been gone. And we've seen that happen countless times. News that has come out there, even with settlements, I believe it was YouTube just was fined back in early January. I think it was $170 or $174 million for stealing cookies from underage minors that were viewing YouTube, and that basically they're data mining what they were watching and then selling off that information. So they're keeping tabs on you. And with that Snowden part that he had come out, and other whistleblowers too as well, is that this tracking and of your movements is becoming more of a cash process for making money for companies to know who to market to and know what is going on, so they can create or not create certain products, or how they sort of I guess you'd say portray information to the masses. And you think about this in a sort of a large scale, is that knowledge is power. Information is a huge amount of power. And with power is always money. And like with all conspiracy theories, like I've mentioned before, the majority of them all come down to is control, power, and money, and who has that. And you can get into this whole thing with tracking people and into lots of different rabbit holes with the New World Order and Agenda 2030, which it there's a conspiracy part about that is to make a New World Order and to have like a whole social one sort of government that is in control of the 7.6 billion people that are on this planet, to get it going that direction. And that's the sort of move that the UN is trying to foster these countries to sort of follow along this sort of path. And I think I mentioned it last week, there is the UN had passed this movement to implement Chinese tracking technology. And if you're aware of what was happening in the news and what's going on in China, is they're using this RFID technology, and it's being implemented currently right now, is to track all vehicles in China. And if you've seen on news programs too, is that they've set up cameras and to track, facial track the populace as they are in and around cities and that, so they know where you are, where you're going. And this gets into that almost that story of the 1984 with Big Brother, like somebody's always watching you. And there's been a lot of stories that have actually, like movies and books and that have sort of suggested this sort of theme, that slowly your identity will basically be no more, you're just going to be a piece in the puzzle, and you'll be manipulated whoever is in control of that. And that's a big thing about your identity and your information and how you're giving it away. So I think back so into the 80s and that, I never really looked at it this way, as I always thought that, hey, with computers and I think with the first computer that I believe our family got, there was like a Commodore 64. Actually, I still even have it there. It's up at the camp there with a whole bunch of 5 1/4 inch floppy disks with a bunch of games on there too. That was basically what most of that I used it for, and for doing for some school projects. But that was the sort of implement that we got into a home computer at home. And now you see that almost everything in your home in first world countries is pretty technological, I guess you'd say, TVs, microwaves, fridges. And now you're getting into the part here, which has been happening recently with smart homes. And then also pairing your devices to your heater, to your air conditioner, to your security cameras, and and it's uploaded to a server, and then it's brought back to your smartphone. But like I was saying, there's that I never really saw that technology going that way back in the 80s, and didn't think that that's the way it was sort of going to go. And so back then, even when even in school where you gave information and it was put into a computer, you never really thought about all the stuff you were giving away with your identity, because you didn't think it was going to be used in another process than what it was originally intended for. And I think that's the sort of the naivety that a lot of people have. And I noticed this talking with different people in my social peer groups and just out and around town, and that is that a lot of people are, I guess is awareness, don't really see the awareness of what their information is and how they're giving it away. I always had this sort of this question with 23andMe and Ancestry.com, and I believe there's another one there called GEDFACT or GEDMED or whatever. Right. GEDmatch, that's what it was called. And I was watching an interesting documentary about that, where they'd solve some cold case files on some unsolved murders and crimes that that were committed, and they finally were able to track these people down. So it figures, so they find one out of a million, and that's this sort of this this thinking and this convenience part that it in a way is sort of a distraction in a way to make people think, oh, this is a really great technology. I think there was a quote back before a long time ago, I'm not sure if I get this right and who said it there, is that if you tell a lie long enough, people will soon believe the lie. And so I think there's a lot of the part that comes into this part with this convenience of this identification tagging and RFIDs and putting in your DNA into servers and systems, because you're never really thinking about who has this information and how actually secure it is. And as I noted there before, is that certain agencies take this information and have gone and used it for the purpose that it was not intended to in the first place. And even though that a great victory came out in solving a crime or something like that, but you have to look at the ramifications of all the people's and information that is out there and what is on file that somebody has. And with information, it's so easily for that information to be hacked. I believe it was, I'm not sure, I think 23andMe was also hacked. Its data was data mined for people and connections. And you had to figure, even if you don't even use that system, the person that does use that system that's in your family writes down your name as a connection to that. So indirectly, you are in the system, which is sort of a funny way to sort of categorize and identify a most variety of people. And I think it was back, if everybody remembers, one of the speeches, I think, by, I think it was Eisenhower, where he said that you have to be wary of the military-industrial complex. And then I think it was later on, JFK had given a speech, and I think I've written down when that was. Sorry about that. It was back in the 1960s. And April 27th, 1961, it was the president in the press speech, and he had mentioned in there is that the government has that they're aware of secret societies, and they're aware of secret or special secret organizations that are running in conjunction or not in with the government, that are running there to protect the popular society, and they are doing things, and whether or not they tell you or not, that's not for you to, it's basically a need to know affair, and whether the press reports on it or not, that's whatever, up to them. But basically what's going on behind the curtain, you are not aware of, and you're only finding out about these things that are happening, whether they're being leaked by a whistleblower or purposely being leaked as a distraction, or just being found out by investigators wondering why and asking questions to things. And that's, I've always said that is back at the beginning when I started this, is that it's a thing I've noticed is that people don't ask questions anymore. They just sort of exist in their one way or their circle of what they have around them, and they're not looking big picture and not looking at their impact, how it spreads out further than what it is. And this whole part there is that I want to get into this RFID this system there, is that this is going to be a system that it's been talked about in different conspiracy channels, and it's also been sort of noted in religious circles. They've called it about taking the mark of the beast, if you're following to Christianity or anything, if something like that. And I said before that I'm a believer in God, and I'm not a church goer, but believe in God and Jesus, stuff like that. And I see this sort of this way that technology could be interpreted this way as taking this mark. And what it's going to be, and this is the slow rule that I think that is being sort of shifted there. And going back to where I was there before in the 80s with the banks and that, when you had your ATM cards, you use those cards as a part of that. And then I think in 2016, they changed all the cards, credit cards, anything with the bank to RFID cards, the chipped cards. And you see these everywhere, your credit card, your bank card, your coffee card has a chip in it where you can just tap and go. That's the big thing there. And I saw with the part with Sweden, and this is one of the countries that is implementing or trying to implement this RFID chip. And what it is just a small chip that's put into your hand between your thumb and forefinger, and allows you access to many different systems, depending on how you have it hooked up. And so it's sort of marketed as this is going to be a convenience, and it's going to be an ease to everybody. So you don't have to worry about having your keys with you anymore or having your wallet with you. All your information is going to be on there. Your health information could be put on there. It'll give you access to get in and out of your house. It'll allow you to sync access to your phone, which will allow you to then manipulate different data or different machines in your home, in your workplace. It'll allow you access to get onto a terminal, to get onto pay for food items or materials that you need at the store. Everything like that. So that's the whole part of this marketing that's put on there, is convenience. And I'll put it in air quote convenience. But the other part about it is that you're not looking at the way I'm sort of seeing it is no one's looking at the implications of nefarious people taking that convenience and being used against you. like I think back in 2003, I believe it was in Toronto. I was down there, and they had that blackout, and I think it was around the same time that they had that SARS problem there too as well. But the power had gone down in the city, and it had shut down everything, so you couldn't even use ATM cards. You couldn't even get gas and go to the store. You couldn't pay for anything, and this is sort of the problem that ends up happening, is because with technology, it has to be powered by something, and something has to be able to read it to make this transaction happen. So by having this convenience of having all your information and stuff like that in one place, you have to also look about, is that that's actually not even a great idea. Like, I lived in large cities and in the small town, and you see how technology and going up with the times sort of is slowly progressed the further you get away from large metropolis areas like that. So like I could even remember back to a time there when we were finally getting credit cards that you just swiped your credit card, but still the technology for internet transactions in outlying communities had not progressed that far where it could send that that amount of data securely. So they were still using the swipe, where you had that carbon copy card, which you had the swiping machine or the credit card machine, and then you had the piece of paper, you signed it, and you kept your receipt, and then whenever they put it through the bank there, that came out of your bank. But you'll always see that all this stuff will happen in places that are large cities compared to what the small city, and then it'll slowly branch its way out. And soon this is the what will end up happening, is that they'll make it to a point like they did with the banking card, is that your access to social functions, or just even being able to operate in daily life without having this chip on you or in you or with you, you won't be able to gain access to various different things. Like, you've seen that even with the whole thing is all moving technology forward. Some of it is, in a way, it is good. Like, in a way, is that you do have that information, and you've seen that with the little swipe cards with your driver's license and stuff like that, that has that information which can be stored onto there. But actually having a chip that takes control, or not control, but has all your information, could actually be sort of, in a way, detrimental when it comes to the part that who is controlling that information and where is that information stored. Like, or I've said that before, is that when you go through school, you're always told the great things about society and government and all the pluses and minuses, and you're brought to this way of thinking, this program thinking, that this is the way things work and it should work this way. And usually the bad is sort of weeded out or contained, and it'll never affect us, because always people in government are always looking out for you positively. But you can see this in recent events, that your government is more focused in on their own climate or their own situation than the rest of the people. Like, you can see that with this impeachment thing fiasco that's going on in the States there, if anybody was following that. Since 2016, all they've been focused in on was impeachment or getting rid of the president than actually trying to solve anything or make the country better for the people that live there. And you got to think that those people in government are elected people that were supposed to be there to benefit basically society. And that works in sort of any country. But you've seen this sort of progression where people that get elected in the office actually believe they're elite royalty, and that their decisions sort of they don't look down the pyramid at the lower people that it's being affected, because they're always there to improve their situation and their way of life first before they are to do anything about the lesser people. All they want for you is just to believe in their lie and cast your vote in the positive way towards them. And I've mentioned before there on other shows there too about the DNC and the Open Society Foundation manipulation and Hillary Clinton, and get into all that stuff there at another time, that again about how government sort of is basically set for their own goal. And this is where it comes into this whole part with this New World Order. And you've heard these words said before. I think George Bush Sr. had mentioned it many times in speeches, and same with George Bush Jr. And Obama had also mentioned this New World Order, this one way of thinking to make this global climate. And the UN is sort of heading that direction, trying to get everybody on board to think unilaterally together to work this way to sort of control things. So I was thinking about this actually several times in that. And in a way, if you sort of play devil's advocate on it, and you look at, like, how would you want to control the world? And it's just sort of a fun thing to sort of look at. And you can sort of see how things are progressing today and how it would sort of be similar to how you would play it in a video game. If you wanted to control the masses, you control their what they know. You can you control who they talk to. You control the information of where they are. You control their finances. You take the money out of their hands. You control their transactions. You know all this stuff, and you can basically stop uprising in a way, and that's by taking away freedom out of the people. So you look at back, there is that with money value and stuff like that, you had the gold, you had precious metals that you could use, and they could always be used instead of money. And I think there was a part to before that they were having these sort of gold chips that you could use. It was like a gold credit card chip, and you just pop off a piece of chip, and each chip was worth $100 or $200, whatever the value is. That never took off. But that was a way to use still something of value that was still sought after. Now, by going cashless, you don't have anything of value. It's all just totally electronic, and it's out of your hands, and it's controlled by who? Again, the bank who control and make the money and control interest rates. And then you have the whole part with taxation that goes through government, different things there, where all that goes into a huge spider web of what do you have. So by removing cash out of society, you remove freedom of the people. So we had there, if I stop there, so what do we have for these identity, these RFID chips? Convenience, all your data can be placed in one place. And they make all these great stories for it. So say you get into an accident, you're unconscious. All they do is scan you, boom, your information comes up there in case you don't have your wallet. This is all supplemental thinking in a way that in the very rare cases that something like that happens. But they make it as it's a convenience that this is great. You don't have to worry. We know who you are. We know where you live, all this information. Now, with you have in the U.S. with the free speech and their different amendments they have down there, is I've seen there recently where there's been just spot checks with police just stopping people, or when investigators or independent journalists have gone to investigate sort of stories or do stories or whatever, you're asked to identify yourself. But there's always rules to engagement that's on there, is that if you're not breaking the law, they can't just come up and roust you and start asking you for information. Now, if you have this RFID chip, they don't even have to do that. Just walk by you and just zap you with a reader. They have all your information. So now with the pro of having all your information in one place, there's the con. All your information is one place. You're readily available. Now, with the implementation they're talking about with going from 4G to 5G, where this radio frequency waves that you use for any device, like your cell phone, to be onto the internet, that as well, this chip can also be activated and can track you from where you are in the city. And this is actually a part of that they talk about what this stuff can be used for and what it's actually being used for today. Like it's being used, like I said, in some businesses, and like in Sweden there, to access into hospitals, schools, used in transportation, tracking packages. It's used in sports, even on TV and that, where they have where they're tracking the ball or movement of something, they can have a chip in there. Like if you ever watched sporting events where the cameras track, say in hockey, the hockey puck, they had one there, the fire puck, and it had a little chip in there, and it would pick up through the computer, and it would leave a tracing line of where actually the ball is there. And you could track movement of cars. And in China, what they're doing with that RFID information is tracking all vehicles, where they are on the roads. And then that information is who owns that vehicle. So there's more and more parts about it, is that your freedom is slowly, slowly deteriorating. And this, you don't see this, and it's just this slow progression that you're, that's being moved along. And now I was going into this part, another place where they use in pets there too. They inject a little chip into pets there, where it's there, so if you ever lose your pet, they can just scan it, then the information of who that pet is and who had registered it is all there, and then they can contact you. Now they just think they can do the same thing for humans. They can track you wherever you're going. So going into this cashless society, which I was saying, there's a bunch of countries that have sort of gone this direction in a way where you're taking away the money and your mobility and your anonymity and what you're actually doing. And all this information is being sent somewhere, and someone and some company is taking this information either knowingly or unknowingly. And as is with radio waves are just free movement across through the air. Anybody with a technology with any sort of sophistication can pick up this sort of information. And we've all been aware of hacking, and that's not something that's new. And it's not something that it will ever go away as well. Stealing data is one of the biggest money businesses that's out there. Knowing what the people are doing and knowing what they're spending their time on, what they're viewing, what they're watching, or who they're talking to, is all information that can be used by somebody, and also to make a file in what you're doing. And there's as of 2017, there was a report that was there of countries that had that are slowly going cashless in a way, and I guess it's this is a percentages of overall transactions used as of 2017. So in Germany, it was like a top 10 list. Germany had gone 35% of all their transactions up to that time had gone cashless, where it had been through some sort of internet banking or wireless transaction where no cash was accepted, like even into a store, ATM card, debit card, credit card. And you know, there's a lot of places that don't even accept cash anymore too, as well. Like airplanes, you can't use cash here in Canada anyways. It all has to be spent by credit card. They don't even accept debit cards. Some stores are like that too, as well as, and some government agencies, you cannot pay your bills when you go in there with cash. It has to be ATM or credit card only. I noticed that when I renewed my driver's license last year, came in with the cash and they said, nope, it's got to be debit or credit card. And that was sort of interesting. I think there was a way to sort of get around that if there was something else, by check or something like that, but it had to be certified. I can't remember. It was sort of interesting there is that, yeah, no more cash transactions. So Germany, as of 2017, 35% of their overall transactions were cashless. USA, 45% of their transactions across the country were cashless. And this is including stuff, purchases through Amazon and that, where you're not, basically, where you're not exchanging actual currency in your hand to receive a product or service. Okay, the UK was at 52%, Belgium was at 56%, Canada had gone up to 57%, Sweden, which is an interesting country in its own there, what they're doing there, but they were at 59%. France was at 59%, the Netherlands was at 60%, and Singapore was at 61%. And this is as of the report released in 2017, so the data could be from prior to earlier than that. And countries like China, China as a whole, there's a lot of stuff that's going on there and in Japan, but these were just the 10 of the most that have been used. And there's other countries that have gone this way as well. And you're seeing this more and more where this is paperless trail. So going back to another con that would be on there. So say it keeps on progressing forward and everything is cashless period, where like they've done here, they removed the penny already. As I said before, is that a lot of places don't accept cash anymore. So say, with this tracking system now, is that say you were to pay your babysitter you just can't give them cash anymore, you've gone cashless. Now your transaction, you paid them whatever, $20 for watching the night, and that's a direct deposit that now is tracked and it's recorded that you paid this person this money. Now somebody went and say cut your grass or shoveled your snow, and you wanted to pay them for their work, you don't have any, you know, there's no cash anymore. That transaction is recorded on who you paid to and what you paid. So when it comes up to things like this, when it comes into your end of your year, when it comes to your taxes and that, and what you spent, where you spent your money, what you claimed, and that'll all be information in there, will be right there in fine print or whatever, on computer text in a computer. So when you file and it sort of doesn't correspond to what your yearly amount was, and there'll be questions for sure be asked about that. But also the part is that the person that you spent money to and where you spent it will also be done. They'll have a tracking system, and this information will be all categorized. This is the way that it's sort of progressing. And this is this part that they talk about with Sweden, with this RFID chip. What they're testing out there is that now they can track, and they will know what people are eating, what people are drinking, what people are spending their money on, what people are viewing on the internet, because you'll have to use the tracking system to get on there and to access buildings. They'll know what door you went into. They'll know exactly when you got home. They'll know when you turned on the TV, what television channel you turned on. They'll know what you're watching, what website you were going to. There's a lot of freedoms that end up be associated with this that they say that won't be happening, but it's always something like that that always goes wrong, and it will always go wrong. It's through recorded history that any good idea, somebody is going to use it for some sort of bad, evil intent. And whether it's not the people that are implementing it and just pulling the wool over your eyes, is there to be there to be proven still. That, well, it has been proven in few cases there, even with Facebook. If you, I don't know if I told this story or not, but the FBI, NSA, I believe, FBI or NSA, they were trying to get past in the U.S. A site exactly like Facebook, and where it'd be there, you would have people would upload their photos, their information, who they're connected to, who they are, and it was turned down. And the day that that was turned down was the day that Facebook went online, and that was put into effect. So it was still put in there, but it was just under an independent entity, corporation, whatever, Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook thing. And that information and manipulation of information has been found out countless times, like I said before, with the YouTube, with tracking cookies, and with, they were caught with they were taking the information of minors, but they're taking information of everybody, but they just got caught, and they never ever tell you that that's what they're doing, but that's what's going on. So something great, and I thought Facebook was a great place, and I still use it quite a bit there, and keeps me in touch with people all over the place. But also, I'm also well aware of what Facebook is and what it's doing and what information they are taking. And you can see this happen when you look at sites on any of these social media platforms. There is some sort of algorithm, tracking algorithm, that is tracking what you're doing, what you're viewing. And then advertisement is directed towards you. And there's been lots of studies programs that have sort of have found this to be actually true, where you're talking about one day on about GMC trucks and the new ones and stuff like that, then all of a sudden you see your advertising showing you information on trucks. Or if you're looking about beds, and all of a sudden you're starting to get advertisements about certain mattresses, and that's it's all in there, and it's all been sort of shown to be actually happening. So now with these RFID chips, this is what I could see will be the wave that things will be going forward, is that like they did with the bank card, is they took the bank card and they said, your bank card will no longer be in use. You cannot access your ATM accounts anymore until you take this new bank card that has this RFID chip, and this will be your new bank card, and this is the only thing that will be accepted. And this is what it's going to be, is this is the whole talk about this, say whatever this mark of the beast, however you want to call it, or this chip implementation of chip, is that if you want to go on to into a building, government building, or onto an airplane, or to pay for food, or to use a service without having this chip, you will not be able to access any of that, and that'll end up forcing you against your will to take this tool, I guess you can call it a way, or this tracking device, and there'll be no other option left, or unless you want to go live out in the bush and whole prepper style and grow your own food and raise your own animals and go totally off grid. If you wanted to exist in any society, metropolis or city, town, to access services for even medical services, you'll have to have this chip, and they'll do it as well as that. You come in unconscious in the hospital, they'll just put one in you anyways. You could just see this snowball, that this is the way that it's going to end up going, which is not a good idea. And there's so many things that could go wrong with this. Say if somebody hacks into your file, and say you have a home, all this stuff is all online, or not online, it's all into some database somewhere, somebody hacks it, they can actually remove you from existence. And I think it was actually a point that was made, I think on Lionel Nation there, Lionel, that said there is that if you have some sort of a civil dissonance or argument or anything against the current government or a group, a large standing group, but usually be a government or whatever, they could go in and actually remove you and basically stop your interaction or basically delete you. And you've seen this happen with even channels on YouTube with the Alex Jones channel, where they didn't like his information there, so they deleted him off the platform, just removed him, right, gone, even though he still exists on other platforms and that, but they just stopped him from using one source of passing information from, and that snowballed to other platforms as well that also had removed him. And that was sort of a big notable one that was there. But say you're the small person that isn't wealthy in doing that, and you by accident or by design, you get removed from the system, or you accidentally deleted, you'd have to look at what the sort of the implication that could mean to you. You wouldn't be able to access any type of assistance, and you'd have to prove who you are again, which is sort of a really interesting way to sort of look at things. That's looking at it in a dark way, but that's actually a possibility that can happen. I remember with my grandmother, she was a native Aboriginal from Alberta, and she was taken in when she was young, taken away from the reserve and put into adoption. Super smart lady. And when she had turned 65, they had a hard time trying to identify who she was, because records had been misplaced, and there was a whole thing about what they did to the young children from reserves back there in the day, where they just basically took them away and threw them into adoption and off to the churches and stuff like that. There was a name for it, I just can't remember it offhand. Anyways, but you'll see what will end up happening here is that there's a lot of parts where they'll say this is the way that it's going to go, and they'll keep on giving you this happy story, but then it'll come to a time, and this is where the conspiracy is that there will be no other option unless you just accept and take what is being given to you. And that's where a lot of these conspiracy channels have sort of this is sort of one faction, this is elitist cabal control to control the masses. And you've seen this happen, if you're aware. If you're not noticing though, is that a lot of information is being on the internet is being removed or being I don't want to use the word changed in a way, I guess you can say. And by removing it or changing that information, the people that access it in the future will not be able to see the original content of what that information is. And I've mentioned this before with parts with history, where I said that I'm really interested in timeline and history and ancient books and where all this stuff is all coming from. And it's all been written about in different religions and prophesized in religious and non-religious books about the progression of the human race and where it eventually go, and there'll be this sort of this control that'll be forced upon you and me and everybody else at the bottom of the pyramid. And like I said there last week with the movies like Logan's Run, where your actions are controlled by a central system, or Soylent Green, where the government controls the masses, and they basically let the information and the elite stay up at the top, and the bottom and the low people are down below. Other books to read or to watch, movies there, 1984 sort of suggests this sort of this big brother, everyone, like somebody is watching you, and you can see this is the way that sort of things are going. I think a great movie if you want to watch something over Christmas time, I was sort of Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy, and it's basically everybody has become basically a slave to the machine, where the machine, everything does everything for you, and you don't think for yourself anymore, and everybody becomes basically idiots. But like I said before, there is that with this flow of technology, I'm not sure if it'll happen in this day or in the next year, but you can see where it's going and where it's heading. And they're already doing this with biometrics in Africa. They're doing it in these third world countries for them to receive aid and medical and food. And that is that they're taking fingerprints, retinal scans, and eventually chipping them, so that to get this foreign aid from other countries to get this help, you have to be marked. And this is a easy way that this will all be implemented from out there till it comes to, I guess, us in the first world nations like North America and Europe and China. Well, that's a different story, but this is the way you can see sort of things going. So hopefully this isn't an unhappy story over the holidays. I want everybody to enjoy themselves. But also think about during this time, while you have time off, is look how technology affects your life. And also look about what you're giving away when you're signing your name and information to gain access to different systems. And think about what it actually means to you and to your family indirectly and indirectly. Like I said before, like with these genealogy searches and DNA groups like 23andMe and Ancestry.com and GEDmed or whatever. I keep on screwing that one up there. GEDbank, I think it was. Even if you don't apply to this or use their system, somebody in your family or cousin or second cousin or third cousin can, and all they have to do is write your name into their family tree spider web of that, and now you are connected. And even though you didn't do this, you are somewhere in information land connected to a whole bunch of other people. It's like that whole thing that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, that separation. We're almost at that sort of that point here now. But who controls the information and what you decide to give out is up to you. But beware and be aware of who is getting this information and what it could possibly do for you or against you in the future, and what you're actually giving up in your privacy and day-to-day life, and having somebody else know where you're taking your next footstep. Anyways, have a happy holidays from me here at The Delicious Recipe. This is the Dell, and good night.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just just what I wanted.
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you too.
Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word, Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.